Good morning. It's the 26th of October. Our first reading today brings us to 2 Chronicles chapter 23. I'm reading today from the book called The Divided Kingdom by Brother Philip Hind. The faithful Jehoiada has determined to rid the nation of Athaliah and put Joash on the throne. I read. The plan of Jehoiada was simplicity itself. The temple guards were armed and at their usual stations. Normally, they would hand over their weapons to the incoming guard when they were relieved on the Sabbath, but not this time. There were within the temple precincts ancient weapons dating back to the time of David, and with these Jehoiada armed the incoming guard and stationed them round the temple courts. All was now ready. The palace guards were in position. The captains knew what was to happen, but not the people. At a given signal, the 8-year-old Joash, accompanied by Jehoiada and his sons, made his dramatic appearance, crowned with the royal crown and holding the sacred scroll. The trumpeters sounded. The singers with their instruments raised their voices, and the cry broke out from the throats of the assembled company, "God save the king!" The sound reached Athaliah in the palace. Escorted by her guards in the usual way, with no suspicion of what had happened, she entered the temple court in her accustomed state. There was the new king, standing by the pillar and wearing the crown. Turning to her bodyguard, she screamed, "Treason! Treason!" But instead of coming to her aid, the guards seized her and, taking her out of the sacred precincts, slew her at the gate of the palace. Thus ended one of the darkest chapters of the whole history of the Southern Kingdom. For the first time since the reign of Jehoshaphat, the Levitical priesthood was again in the ascendant, and the temple services were once more functioning. But the temple itself was in a sorry state. The sons of Athaliah had used it as a quarry for stones wherewith to build the temple of Baal, and had appropriated all the treasures for the same purpose, as we read in chapter 24. Nothing seems to have been done for some years. It was the concern of Jehoiada that the house of David should once more be built up, and he proceeded to take wives for Joash, who bore him sons and daughters. It was after this that the king had the idea to repair the house of the Lord, and he called the priests and Levites to collect the temple tax, the half shekel, as appointed by Moses. It seems that the Levites were somewhat dilatory, or perhaps they regarded the collection as a contribution to their own needs. In any event, the money was slow in coming. Eventually, Jehoiada died, and his influence on the king and the nation vanished. The repentance of the nation was only skin deep. No doubt there was a reaction against the abominations of Athaliah, but 25 years or so is long enough for such to be forgotten, and the generation that had grown up since did not learn the lessons of the past. Jehoiada must have been a remarkable man who maintained his integrity in spite of all that had happened. His son Zechariah, himself a prophet, was among those who raised their voices in protest against the apostasy of the king. "Thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you." His plea was of no avail. At the commandment of the king, he was stoned to death in the very court of the temple where Joash himself had been crowned. Thus he was included in the roll of faithful martyrs, able to Zechariah, in Matthew chapter 23. But Joash himself finds no place in Matthew's genealogy of our Lord Jesus. There must be a powerful lesson for us in that. Thank you for listening.